Hi, the name's New Bronner, Dion New Bronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership, where I chew the fat with guests from many walks of life. Yep, I ponder the big questions, and we play around with some less significant ones too. I sometimes unpick the practice of leadership, delving into what it means to many. We laugh and we explore what it is to live with purpose and meaning. I hope you find the chat as useful as I have having it. Life, purpose, leadership. In this episode, which is in two parts, Michelle Sheen and I explore what is the gold within us? What is our true essence, our bliss, our real nature and potential, our purpose? What is being and being in flow? Download part two, where we take things further into consciousness or conscious consciousness. Well, Michelle, how are you this fine day?
I am good.
And then we were going to talk. What were we going to talk about? We were going to talk about this Binding Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, by Joseph Campbell, and it really comes back to a lot of teachings. Maybe not so much Western teachings, but that the gold is within, but you're going to look for it without. And at some point in your life, you get turned back to find it within, or look, or you know, realize that it's maybe not out, but in. Mm.
That's a good summation, really.
Yeah.
It makes me think that we already know this stuff, and I know that we know it, and I know that they know we know it, and I know that knowing it, but not living it, is what's happening. I suppose when I was thinking it through, I was thinking, yeah, that's a simple, obvious message. But I guess for a lot of people, it isn't obvious. It is this searching externally, searching outside ourselves. And in fact, I can't sit here and say that I haven't done that, because I have. Even in recent times, I've searched externally. And maybe I've searched externally for the golden nuggets to this life or whatever, or my circumstance externally, because I haven't allowed myself to find it internally. So I've spent time and energy searching externally when, even though I know that it is there internally, I haven't allowed myself or given myself permission to, or maybe even not known how to find it internally.
I think that's the thing. We have been taught to look for it externally. You know, if I do well, if I do a lot, if I work hard, if I, all those things, then I will be happy or feel better or earn a lot of money or have a nice house or all those rewards. Mm. And, you know, in our being, we've not really been taught that, oh, it's from within. And it's so weird because you come across these things and it's always been there. I mean, Joseph Campbell lived a long time ago. Why haven't I, you know, explored this? Because it's so interesting. And he talks a lot about the hero's journey. So in storytelling and things like that, how, I mean, we all live the hero's journey in a way. And that's why we're so attracted to the Star Wars story structure. Yeah.
I was just about to say, it's Star Wars. You have the hero, the victim, and the villain.
Yeah, same with The Alchemist. I had a chat with Colm Holland the other day for Content College, and he wrote the book, The Secret of the Alchemist. I'm not sure if you've read The Alchemist.
I actually haven't. And when you said that, I thought, yeah, that's something that needs to be put on the list.
So, for example, in the Alchemist, it's about a boy, Santiago. You know, he got distracted by the shiny sword, and then he kind of went off away from his dream, and he almost lost it. But then he, went and worked in this crystal, this glass shop, and he kind of, you know, lingered a little bit in what he wanted to do, and he almost gave up again. And then he went through this desert, this dry period of kind of following his dream, and he found out that the treasure wasn't where he was going. The treasure was where he came from, which is that typical hero's journey of return to
within, me.
Yeah. To me. Yeah. But you have to go. So it's based on the alchemy, you know, in alchemy, they have the three stages. And alchemy was the science of turning lead into gold. But it had to go through three phases, and it's a metaphor really for those three phases of the black, the white, and the red phase. And it's fascinating looking at it from that, with kind of a Carl Jung theory background of our dreams is our subconscious talking to us, and you know, 80% of what our behavior is based on subconscious patterns and things that we need to kind of bring to the forefront and to the conscious.
So then it isn't therefore what I said earlier about allowing myself to experience it from within, it being the gold, the nugget. It isn't actually about not allowing oneself or having not allowed myself. It is an inevitable journey that we all individually at different parts or different times in our lives embark upon. Because what I defined as allowing was permission. Gave myself permission to recognize that the gold or whatever it is comes from within, the joy and the peace. And therefore what I'm saying is that I don't think it is about permission. It is just about timing. And everyone will, at a certain point in time, experience it at a certain degree. Some may never, perhaps.
Well, yes. I don't know if everybody is
open to it.
Open to it. Mm. But I think there is a point in everybody's life where they choose it or they don't. I think. For me, it's a journey. And I don't think you really get to the destination always. I think it stays a journey. It's just at which stage of the journey you linger longer.
And you see, that's why I keep saying to people that I work with, purpose is a direction, not a destination.
Yeah.
It brings me back to Finding Joe. And they talk about finding your passion or having passion. And that's why I believe passion is purpose. I believe because it's not a destination. It is this direction I'm taking myself. It's my journey through those different stages, those different color stages in The Alchemist. So
it's also around, he talks about finding your bliss, which you would then equate to purpose.
Well, the way he described bliss was that you couldn't help but love it and want it and be it and experience it. And it is both that embodying and imbuing, as well as it's calming and subtle and beautiful and peaceful. And I believe our purpose, if we find it, it's motivating and imbuing and exciting and driving, as well as calming and grounding.
Yeah, grounding. I like
calming and grounding. Calming and grounding, yeah.
I think that's the very important bit, is that it's a process and it's not a destination, because we are going to go back sometimes. The fear is going to come back, or the anxiety, and you're going to want to find that external kind of source of validation or whatever it is, to say, it's not going the way I wanted it to, so I must be doing something wrong, so let's try this thing. It didn't work last time, but it works for other people, so maybe I, you know what I mean. So it becomes...
I do know what you mean, because I'm nodding here and smiling at you, and I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, she is just recounting the last year of my life.
Yeah.
Last year of my life was driven by this external or my thoughts associated with some external validation or gratification.
Yeah.
Even though I know I've found and I have a clear purpose in my life, and I know what that is, and I am grounded by it and driven by it and motivated by it. But at this last year, I lost sight of it.
Yeah, see, that's the shiny sword in The Alchemist.
Yeah.
Then you get like, oh, wow, look at that. And new acquaintance stole his money and he was stuck in a new country with nothing. So, and then he had to kind of go within again. So Colm Holland talks about the dark night of the soul where, and I think there's different stages of it. And some of us get stuck, or some people get stuck in it. And you know, so you have to have guides in your life, and you have to have people that maybe challenge your thinking a little bit. Otherwise, it's easy to stagnate in a dark place, or in a place where you think that, okay, well, if I just do it like everybody else, then I should be fine because they all seem fine. But we're not all the same, and we do need to recognize that without creating new boxes, because I think that's where I find there's quite a thing for me with I don't fit into these boxes, so let me create a new one. And then I'll just kind of smash all stereotypes. But why not just move away from the box kind of mentality and just go, well, I'm just who I am. And
I am me. We're coming back to, who do I want to be? Do I want to be at box A, box B, box C, or the stereotypical boxes? Or do I want to be me that is none of those?
Yeah.
And it is something completely, something else.
Yeah, which is tricky because, it's easy.
Well, it comes back full circle to the validation point. It's tricky because of our desire for validation.
Yeah.
Which has been ingrained in us, well, since I can remember, since birth, that validation.
Yeah, because at school we get a badge if we do well. Mm-hmm. So now my validation lies in the badge, not the fact that I did well.
Well, or just in moments like that, appreciating the value that I did, what I did.
And leaving our comfort zones, that should be the validation a lot of the time, because that's when we know that we are moving away from stagnation, when there is some fear involved because I'm moving out of this comfort zone that I've been in order to grow. And that's difficult.
You make me think of two things. One, a story about me getting scale electric cars as presents or gifts for doing well at school. Mm. And the other is about William on the tennis court again. In relation to your comfort zone point, or being out of your comfort zone, that's what William is now when he's playing, and he's not playing with his coach, whose coach hits the ball back perfectly for him. Whereas I'm not his coach, and I don't hit the ball back perfectly for him, and he needs to deal with that in a way to try and rally or win the point or whatever have you. So he's out of his comfort zone. His comfort zone is playing nicely with Seb in his coaching sessions. But the validation for him is winning, is seeking to win. And it was the same for me when I used to get my scale electric cars.
Yeah,
I used to get scale electric cars bought for me. I was obviously fascinated and into scale electrics in the 1980s. But mother used to buy them for me if I'd done well at the end of the term.
But see,
and
now,
if I hadn't done well, I didn't get one.
Where's the measure, though? When do you, you know what I mean? It's a very accepted form of...
Totally accepted, of recognition.
Of recognition, right? And motivation and whatever. But isn't it really important to also learn to lose and maybe not do so well and maybe be out of your comfort zone and be able to go and shake that opponent's hand and say, good game, you guys won, well done, you know, or whatever it is. And that's for me as important. But wear that second place medal with pride.
Yes.
And that's that.
And that's enough. That should be enough. But it isn't. Because we want the glory.
Yeah, but I mean, the opposite of the glory is, isn't that more harmful to society as a whole? Because we're teaching our children that you don't lose, because then you get like this happens, you know.
Yeah. So you can't lose whatever the cost.
Yeah. So therefore, we maybe keep on a road that isn't always serving us, because that's what everybody else is doing and we're not going to stand out.
No, we stick to our boxes. We stick to the boxes that we've created for ourselves in order to fit in, rather than step out of the comfort zone. And I'm very guilty of that myself. I don't like using the word guilty now. Oh, this bloody language thing that we talked about last time has done my head in.
Yeah, but I think it's fine. It's okay, because we all do. I mean, we're never going to do it all right all the time, or ever really. But isn't it just about trying? It should be enough.
I suggest it's about doing, because doing leads to being. And I'm only saying that because Yoda said it.
That's fair enough. It's fine. It's all good. Yoda said it. It's
Yoda said it, and therefore it is wise.
Yeah. Said it in the but what if we don't have to do? What if we already have the gold? So we don't have to do. The doing comes naturally if you follow your bliss, because then you will be doing more of what creates that bliss.
Absolutely.
So in effect, you don't have to do, you have to be.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. I guess in my mind, I like to break down the being into component parts, because I'm a teacher at heart. That is my bliss. And for myself, if I break it down into its component parts and I then put them together, and putting the component parts together results in being, then I will embrace that being. It's almost like learning how to ride a bicycle analogy. If I remember my brother teaching me how to ride a bicycle, and I had stabilizers on, and he would talk to me about the different elements about it and keep doing, and then you're consciously doing those things that you need to do to become the bicycle rider. But again, that's more about achieving that capability, which is an external reference point. But my simple point is that doing, not doing for doing's sake, doing intentionally leads to being.
But where's the space for intuition then? Where's the space for that?
Intuition in itself is doing.
I think it's more feeling, isn't it? Because the more you analyze, the more you move away. So you have your heart and your head, your heart and your head, and that's where your intuition and your things lie. And the head is more the analytical, like trying to convince you how to get out of this heart kind of thing. And coherence between those two is what we strive for, because we need them to work together. But I think in we've been taught to work here. So
in our heads. But I don't believe doing is working in my head.
Okay. Where do you think it is in your heart?
It's coming intuitively from within, and then I do something with that. And as a result, I'm being.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting that doing is a cerebral cognitive process. I think it's intuitive in its nature. Like, for example, yoga is a practice.
Yeah.
I've experienced yoga for many years, and I believe I had to do certain postures and take myself into them in order to be in them. Then what happened is when I was able to, there was this release that came, this intuitive energy that came as a consequence. But prior to that, there was a doing, but it was intuitively done.
You're describing intuition as a set or a practice or a thing that you've kind of mastered, and then it comes naturally.
I wouldn't have used the word mastered, but yes, that I've become more conscious of that intuitive nature. And as a result, it happens more often. And as a result, I am being more often.
Yeah. So I am suggesting that it's already there, even if you don't even if you just go with the flow, even if you don't focus on how to get those movements right, and you let go, that you will get to the same result.
But I'm suggesting there's two different paths.
Yeah.
I'm suggesting there's path A, which is what I've described, and then there's path B, where you will get there anyway.
Yeah, but through letting go of that analytical mind and that cerebral, you know, process, and just being. So it's finding those spaces, you know, that Eckhart Tolle talks about, those spaces in between, and kind of resting in those, and then attracting a inherent knowledge almost.
Yes.
That you already have.
The spaces point for me, the spaces come when I let go. And my letting go comes as an intuitive response to having done for a period of time.
Yeah. So I'm suggesting skipping the done.
Done.
I think it's already there. And that's, I think, where the Finding Joe narrative comes from. It's we doing this stuff, but understanding that the things that we are trying to achieve by doing is already within. Cutting away that and that analytical mind and just going for the heart. So Jung talks about making the subconscious conscious. Mm. And then we can go into what is consciousness. But it is an awareness, I would say, you know, our conscious mind is where we are aware of what we are doing.
So that's it for part one. Download part two, where we take this conscious consciousness point a little further and we tie up some of the loose ends that I think we've been exploring.
The name's Newbronner, Dion Newbronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership.